Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Five, six, seven, eight. I'm counting down the clock because the red light is on, which means we are live. There's a lot to get into this week, good brothers, and we are back for a very special episode. When we talk about this week in professional wrestling, we've got Edge potentially having problems in AEW. We have Vinnie Mac being booted completely out of creative, not to mention NXT still on the hot streak, not to mention, once again, Crown Jewel's main event is looking like Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins. We will get to all that and more in a few special announcements right after this. Let's get it.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yes!
It's me. It's me. It's DDP. Welcome to the Wrestling Rum Now podcast, where we take a deeper dive into the world of professional wrestling. Now, you can watch all of our Wrestling Rum content anytime on YouTube.com/TheWrestlingRum. I am your host, yours truly, the real Dwayne Allen. That was old school. He is your host, not only the guy, Brandon Guy. Brandon, the guy, the belt king himself, the host of Championship Culture. He is also your host, Brother Hugh has a third. A to the A to the S, T to the H to the E, 3 to the R, to the D. And yours truly, the man, the myth, the legend, Hollywood. Brian H. Waters in the building. Man. You can follow us on all social media platforms, including Instagram, Threads, X, formerly known as Twitter. I can't let it go. And Facebook at Russell Rum. Like, subscribe, and engage in the conversation with us. You can also stream all of our audio content and download as well on Anchor, Stitcher, Podbean, Pocket Cast. I always get jumbled right there. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and watch and subscribe to our Twitch channel at The Wrestling Rum. Whew, that was a lot to get out. You would think I don't do this every week, right? With that being said, if you want to support the Wrestling Rum, head over to WrestlingRum.com. That's right. For t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, and more, head over to WrestlingRum.com. And before we go further, I got an announcement to make, good brothers. Officially at WrestlingRum.com, we have officially uploaded some new merchandise. We have jackets now. Yes, sir. We have windbreakers, we have coaches jackets, and we have a very special Wrestling Realm bomber jacket.
Oh, snap.
So, as the weather changes and you want to bundle up, you can do so now in Wrestling Realm gear. Also, another announcement. We have officially changed some of the styles of the t-shirts to accommodate all shapes and sizes. That's right. We're no longer going to be sizes. We have extended sizes for all of our t-shirts now. as well as we have officially slashed the prices. So we have slashed the prices. We have made sizes way more accommodating for all those who may want to purchase, be a part of the brand, and shop everything Rust and Rum. You can do so at rustandrum.com. So I suggest you head over there, take a look at some of the new products that we have up, including jackets, including t-shirts, and eventually, when we get more product in, we are going to be unboxing some of those products here on the show so we can kind of show the world a little bit about what we do. And if they want to purchase things, they have the opportunity to check out some of the product right here on the show.
You're welcome.
There you go. With that being said, we want you to subscribe to our Patreon channel, patreon.com/wrestling_realm, for all exclusive shows and bonus material. There's things that we can't say. There's things we don't have the time to talk about. But guess what? We have a special place for all that content and material, and it is our Patreon channel. We are expanding. We are doing much more. Please be patient with us as we are going to rev up what's available for our Patreon channel. We have 3 tiers as of right now. You can subscribe for just as low as $1. So if you want to continue to be a part of the brand while exclusive shows and bonus material, definitely head over to patreon.com/wrestling_realm. Now, with that being said, the seasons are changing, and so is the sporting events. But I tell you what isn't changing. SeatGeek.com. If you're looking to purchase tickets to concerts, live shows, sporting events, hint, hint, and much more, head over to SeatGeek.com. You use promo code WrestlingRealm to save yourself $20 or more of any one-time purchase. So if you have never used our promo code, guess what? We're here to help you out. SeatGeek.com. Save $20 on your next pair of Ravens tickets that are available right now.
Yeah, these are go watch them beat the Lions.
That's right. We got the Lions this week. Ravens versus the Lions. Head over to SeatGeek right now. You know you want to catch it. Just like Brian said earlier, who would have thought this would be a big game? But guess what it is? So do yourself a favor. Save yourself a few dollars. Use our promo code. If you've never used it before, Wrestling Realm. At SeatGeek.com, promo code Wrestling Realm. All one word.
Facts.
Now, with that being said, good brothers, as I put the branding back up, I'm going to dip the branding back off because guess what this week was? Anybody got a guess? Come on. Okay, I'll tell you what it was. It was another opportunity for us to engage in the latest and greatest show to the Rest of Rome brand, Championship Culture, led by Brandon the Guy, and Brother Hugh Has the Third. That's right. The Belt King and the Super Producer have come together. If you are not familiar with Championship Culture, head over to youtube.com/wrestlingrum and check out the playlist Championship Culture, because every belt has a story. Every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Brother Brandon, last week you dropped the bombshell with the first show, Championship Culture, NXT Volume 1. It went crazy overnight. And guess what? People are starting to get tuned in. Right now, NXT's hot again. And you followed up with another banger with Volume 2. Can you let the people know about this week's episode of Championship Culture?
So it was only fitting that we went back to the... Because I feel like it's three different versions of NXT. We had the black and gold, the 2.0. Now they look like we're in black, gold, and white brand. So go back to the roots. And if you go back to NXT roots, that's where a lot of things were starting to happen. Things are starting to catch steam. And I do believe, and I even said in the show, this is why we're enjoying some of the great matches that we have now, because of the work that these people did back then actually planted the seeds for what we are seeing grow now. And if you pay attention to the cover, can you put it back on screen real quick? Kind of gave it away what this Volume 2 was about, because if you notice how the NXT logo was a little different than last week, it lets you know it was all about a certain belt, because every belt has a story, but there was a reason it was Volume 2. And it was a reason that it was two belts in this one. So get a chance, go over to the wrestlingrealm.com on YouTube, /YouTube, and check out the playlist, because you'd be surprised with how we go back on memory lane with the black and gold version of NXT.
Now, with that being said,
where are your notes?
I've got notes.
Because you didn't say anything in the group chat. That's why I said, oh, he up to something. Yeah, I noticed he was quiet. I said, okay, we'll just go wait for the notes.
Brother Hugh has made it very clear that we need to start to put these things out there for content. So I saved the stuff. And I like to hold my notes like Buckwheat and Porky did on Little Rascals with two fingers like this. See my fingers?
Dear Alfalfa.
Oh my God.
I hate your stinking guts.
You are scum between my toes.
You're scum between my toes. Speaking of scum between my toes, there's something that you do on these championship culture shows that I take note of. Sometimes you tread the fence a little bit. I'm like, no, see, there's Brother Brandon Gold being political. And I want all the smoke. And you mentioned, in case you, can I say what the show's about?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so it was about the original iteration of NXT's tag team championship belts. And you went into the history of those belts, and most importantly, the tag teams who made these championships famous. Look at Brother Hugh. How prime is that? I would expect nothing less from a super producer. You mentioned a list of tag teams. And you talked about that these tag teams for NXT were the pioneers of what, you know, would eventually, what would to come and what would be to come. And then, of course, like you said, what we enjoying right now on the main roster now that old Tripster is in charge completely.
Tripster.
Old Tripster. But I'll say this. This is my first line. My favorite tag team, I remember NXT's tag team division stood out to me the most because that's where I met Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy.
What happened to Wesley Blake?
Well, he got married to Sarah from Tough Enough, but you know she had an untimely, she passed away due to
And then he was
in the that controversial group with Jackson Riker and all those guys, the Sons of America.
He was a product of that.
Anarchy. And that was just a bad idea. So he just got rid of him, like just get off TV for a while. And eventually he ended up losing his job. I think he's a coach now at the Performance Center, from what I heard. I don't know. But at one point I remember they were my favorite tag team. There's a few tag teams that you named, like DIY, The Ascension, Vault Villains, Blake Murphy, Adrian Neville and the other guy, and the Wyatt family. Oliver and Twist, what was his name?
They were the British
like that time he was at the show, Brandon called homeboy random guy.
Yeah, that random guy.
Oliver Gray.
I'm sorry. I called him Oliver Twist. I want to tell that story about random guys so bad, but we have a show to do. So this is
Patreon.
This is why we have to do this. We got to get a Patreon going. Random guy.
But wait, guy, from your perspective or Hugh's perspective, because both of y'all tell it a different way. That's the craziest part.
This is like a television show. When everybody tells their version of the story. This is very fresh.
Prince and me all sitting here like this. Back to your tag team.
One time, Brandon got so annoyed. He said, "Oh my God, why is he always behind me?" Yep. He would like Brandon. We had a full blown wrestling conversation. You know, group style, everybody in the circle is shooting up, and this guy would be right behind like this. Like, turn around. Why is he right just like this?
Telling him all his business.
With his straight act,
why is he here?
Exactly. Like, what is he doing? Anyway. One thing you omitted from this show, this particular episode of Championship Culture, and I'm going to move forward, is you talked about all the tactics, but you never said who was the best and who was the worst. See, me, I want all the smoke. I don't care about anything. So you're the diplomat. I understand. But Brother Brandon, I have a question for you, sir. Who is the best tag team to hold these tag team championships? And if you don't have a best tag team, tell me who's your favorite. And then I want you to tell me who's your worst. Now, once again, you have the same. I'm fair. So same thing. Either the tag team you didn't like the most holding the title, or what other tag team you thought was like, nah, this is just dumb.
My favorite tag team that held that iteration of those belts were DIY. Because it was a makeshift tag team of two wrestlers that I
had that enjoyed
because of the Cruiserweight Classic. I saw Tommaso Ciampa in a different light than what we saw in
we all did, because we had a front row seat to his blonde mohawk.
Exactly. So yeah. That two out of three falls match made it just like, that overshadowed everything else. That to me was just like the, yep, they made it. This is not to say they're taking anything from their career to that point prior, but it was just that was their establishing moment. Least favorite tag team? I'm gonna have to say Sanity.
No. See, this is I knew it. I knew he was gonna do that.
Why?
Nope, because now I'm gonna argue with you. I'm ready to argue with you. It was.
And I'm gonna say why it was my least.
Okay, go ahead.
Remember they were surrounded with injury and they had to switch out. So I feel like it took away from it. Because then Killian Dane was the one that got injured, right?
I thought it was Alexander Wolfe. I could be wrong. Was it Killian Dane?
I thought it was Wolfe. It was
all right. So Wolfe is the one that kept getting passed around the factions too, right?
Yeah.
Because he was at Imperium for a little bit. It's just something about. I think it was him. I don't know. It just didn't click for me.
I liked Sanity a lot. I felt like they did really good with Sanity. I liked Eric Young in that setting.
I liked them without the belts.
Yeah, I don't care too much for their tag team reign, but they're two tag teams, and one was worse than the other. There's the Ascension, and there's the Vaudevillains. You take your pick and tell me which one was worse. It's because the Ascension's promos look like PlayStation commercials from like 1995.
They didn't have the best matches. They were like, out of all of the matches, they were on the bottom. And in that division, being the bottom wasn't an insult, but it was like a big difference between the worst and the almost worst. Does that make sense?
Sure. And NXT was a little bit corny when they first started out in comparison to what they would eventually become.
Correct.
And the Vaudevillains and Ascension, where at least the Vaudevillains were funny,
and that's they were different. And I watch Simon Miller when he talks about goofy wrestling. I feel like the Vaudevillains were embodied with that, and it was like, all right, I'm not gonna go out of my way to see them, but if they're on, I'm gonna watch them.
And then they tag with your girl Blue Pants, Oliva. I'm gonna start in trouble, but guess what? Here we go. Moving on with the show.
Who was your favorite tag team?
It was Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy, you know, with Alexa Bliss. I like their look. They were my favorite tag team for a while, like throughout the whole company for a long period of time. And then DIY came along, and eventually I was like, okay, I like these guys a lot better. But they, at one point, they were my favorite tag team. They were the ones.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you one thing about them.
Mm-hmm.
Murphy, as whatever you want to call him, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he had his singles run,
yeah.
Do you think if he had a mouthpiece like Zelina Vega or a mouthpiece of that caliber, he would have did more?
Yeah, absolutely. Because him and Andrade remind me of the same person, which is why they tore the house down on that one episode, random episode of AEW Collision, in a ladder match for I don't even know what they were fighting for.
The mask.
There you go. The mask. Yeah, because he was very talented, man. He still is all. But it was just he was flat. You know what I mean? And don't get me wrong, I thought he held his own as a singles competitor. Like even when you left NXT, I don't think everybody needs to be like, you know, Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. But I think it definitely will probably have helped him. But I think with his, you don't think about it, you don't see too many cruiserweights with managers outside of like Ultimo Dragon and Sonny Ono. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's because usually, like, your heel is usually doing some type of heelish tactic that where he needs advising versus
pulled Alexa too fast from them.
Yeah, I think pulling Alexa was the death nail for them because, you know, she got called up before they did, and then they were the never same after that. I don't know. Sometimes having that manager can be the completion of what it is that you're trying to like even the Hardys, like when Lita joined the Hardys. As big as the Hardys were at that time, it seemed like she took them to the next level. Like there's the Hardy Boys run, but then there's also a Team Extreme run, and then then you get into their singles careers and stuff like that. So sometimes taking away the valet, taking away the manager, taking away the what does Paul Heyman call himself? He calls himself the advocate in the council. I think it makes a major difference. But
and I always talk about that infamous show in Ohio I went to, and I remember seeing Andrade with the suspenders, and everybody's like, who's this guy? And not even a month later, he has Zelina Vega, a whole different character, whole different presentation. It was like night and day.
Big time. And it worked for him. It worked well for him. But yeah, so that there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be here for I'm telling you, we'll talk about belts for 6 hours fooling around with us. Make it to the main roster. No, they did not.
They split them, didn't they? Because that's what they split them. Aiden came and then magically wound up with Rusev Day.
Yeah, Aiden right. English. I don't think what's his name? Simon
Gotch. He got released, didn't he?
Yeah, because he had a headache next day. He started smelling himself. That's from what I know. But yeah. But if you want to catch the rest of the episode, the rest of the history of that iteration of the NXT Tag Team Champions, that was the highlight of this week's Championship Culture. Remember, youtube.com/WrestlingRealm. Check out the Championship Culture playlist to catch up on the rest of the conversation. Trust me, it's one of my favorite shows, if not my favorite show. I have to catch it every week. You can do the same thing. youtube.com/WrestlingRealm. Playlist Championship Culture. Good brothers.
Yes, sir.
This is going to be one of those shows where we just catch up. Right, we talk about what has happened this week in pro wrestling. Now you say, well, what happened this week, realness? Well, quite a bit. We have quite a bit to talk about. But you know, of course, before we get into that, I have one question to ask you guys. What did you watch this week? If people don't know what that is. That was the did you watch sound effect / graphic screen flashy thingy. So good brothers, before we get into today's conversation, what did you guys get into this week?
Well, I sat around and basically had my face stuck in a computer screen and was on the phone most of the time yelling at Mr. Gump, friend of the guy.
I could see that happening.
Yeah, he was getting on my nerves for the most part, but
I invaded a couple of their conversations.
Yeah.
I merged a call with Brian. He would say, "Hey, sexy." All the way off. I said, "Yep, this conversation, okay, sure."
Oh man, it wouldn't be a conversation if it didn't start off with shenanigans.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not even a conversation without it. He starts. it finishes in the middle of it. Has it? It's just all that. And I ask myself, why do I keep answering the phone? Why do I call him? What am I doing?
Exactly.
I would love to be a fly on the wall for a Championship Culture creative meeting. Because
right?
I don't know how you guys do things, but I always sit there and I'll get into what I'm watching and I'll be watching stuff. And all these belts come flying across my screen. And I'm just thinking like, man, what if they talk about this? And what if they talk about that? And what about that title? What about this? And I don't know what I was watching. It's there's a guy on YouTube, I don't remember his name, but he does like he has like a yellow and black background. He always does the random like WWF 1995 or you know what I mean.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And they were talking about secondary titles, and he was just talking about all the forgettable secondary title reigns. And he was referring to like the United States Championship by the time it got to the WWE and stuff like that. And I'm seeing all these just belts that I need in my life flash across the screen. I was like, man, I wonder how they come up with the ideas for their show. And based off what you just said, Brother Hugh, now it's got me that much more interested. But that's just cool. But
I'll tell you, if we recorded one thing, you'll be like, oh my god, how did y'all get it? It literally starts with you know what would be really cool? Next thing I know, I'd have made a TikTok, he'd have made 6 graphics, we hate all of them. We start over. I send him video. Yep. He literally has videos of I'm scared because he has the uncut version of Championship Culture, and I feel like it's gonna come back and haunt me one day. And he's just gonna produce a whole episode of me going like this, or like he got all that raw footage, and it's gonna come back and bite me. And I'm gonna say it now, I'd have made extra videos to say, "Here, do something with this." So I don't know what's gonna happen. So we shall see.
I'm gonna say right now, I wouldn't trust my brother Hugh with that type of shenanigans. He can't help himself. He can't help himself.
Big fan.
I don't know what y'all talking about. I'm an angel. I don't know what y'all talking about.
Angel what? Angel Garza?
The fallen angel?
Yeah, because he's one winged angel. He was too slick and he's too fast. You look up. Trust me, I know. Like I didn't come get a championship belt, and it turned into a whole program. Thank God it didn't make it. It didn't make it to WrestleMania. We closed the story out at Backlash.
Oh, it was going to New York. It was going to go to New York.
Oh man, I swear
it definitely was.
If my belt made it to Madison Square Garden before I did, I'd have quit the show. I don't know. I quit, bro. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, you got it. You got to do the garden.
Yeah, but I tell you one of the things I did watch this week that I actually watched NXT after the big show. No pun intended, Paul White. Sorry. I think last week's episode of NXT kind of did its job where I'm trying to make Brother Brandon spit his juice out. I'm trying to say something funny on purpose every time he takes a sip. But yeah. I found myself going back to watch NXT again, and I said to myself, I said, this is what NXT last week's goal was supposed to do, was to keep new eyes on the product. And now, I'm be honest with everybody in my house, their attitude toward NXT has changed, because before it was like, well, what is NXT? Like, what's all these new faces? But sometimes when you have these familiar faces show up, and then you kind of, I'll give it a shot and do you watch it. Then that now you look at it under a different context. So NXT is something that's watched now in my house. And I just remember watching, once again, man, they're selling us Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes. Are you guys satisfied with Carmelo Hayes's babyface run? Because Lord knows it's almost over.
I say this, I'm excited for it because Trick figured out how to get over and Melo hasn't. So the way to get over it.
Who called it? Who said it? Who said it? I can't say it.
This Melo, because remember when he was a heel, he was like cocky and arrogant. But sure. This Melo about to go to a different range because, again, look who's producing him.
Yep.
And Shawn Michaels is doing his stuff. He's reliving his career through his kids. We done already seen the barbershop scene. We about to get Shawn Michaels and Triple H right here. You know, I will say Shawn Michaels.
I didn't even think about that. I forgot they got a lot of history.
Bro, oh, yes.
I didn't even think about that. I was like, oh, shoot. He's done this already.
He has. You know, the attack. You're going to see Trick Williams all of a sudden. Like, it was you, Melo.
He's going to get paranoid.
It's going to be in reverse.
He's already started. Did you see it in the ring?
Well, that's where I was going. Melo was smart. And I was like, okay, he's going to be okay. And when I saw that facial reaction, because I actually had the TV on mute. Mm-hmm. And I saw his facial reaction. I said, I feel good now. I don't feel like he's gonna get lost in sauce because he sold it. And I did what I had to do. You know, and it's crazy because you talk about what you watched this week. I just watched the Two Dudes with Attitudes Untold.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That type of stuff is just like it's such timeless material. Because you could just go back and like a lot of them I didn't actually see two or three times just because I'm like, say it was like Undertaker versus Kane. I like to hear them tell that story when Kane made his debut, you know. And so like I was watching the Two Dudes with Attitude, and it's just like, man, this is, and it just put me back in that mindset of Trick and Carmelo, but is now going into it like a different wavelength of Shawn Michaels' career. And that's the best thing about him producing and him kind of like steering the ship, because you're seeing the way he does things versus like the way it was before. And he's letting them tell stories. Like Goldberg was quoted, he said, like, pro wrestling has no depth today. And I'm like, well, you shouldn't be talking, but.
play the gunshots.
But I'm like, is he not watching NXT? Like, there's a lot of depth.
He's not.
A lot of depth of characters down there. I mean, you look at the women, you look at the main event scene, you got five people that's, you know, and dragging off, and like everybody's playing on Melo and Trick, not just one person. Like before, it'd be okay, one person's playing them against each other. Everybody's playing them against each other, and it's got Melo paranoid.
Dijak, his mic skills has gotten so much better.
He has improved.
Yes, because before, you know, he was very limited what he's saying. I'm like, oh, I feel vested. Now, hell.
Yeah, he was. I thought it was very promo based at first. You know when he does. You know when he's doing his kind of return vignettes. Yeah, and you can script those, right? You can kind of direct those, but like who he is in those promos and who he has been in NXT, like I'm seeing it come to fruition. And even his even his spot when Baron Corbin was trying to take out he was trying to take out Dragon.
Yeah, he was like, I beat you to it or something.
And then, it wasn't corny. It was like, okay, and Baron Corbin didn't sell it like the Hulkster. You know what I mean? He wasn't like, oh. He was just like, he was kind of shocked, like, dang, he really beat me to it. Like, which made it
his own game.
it made it very, because he was like, oh, so his head was where I was too. Like, he was thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. But that's, think about it, as a viewer, that's something you can relate to. You're like, oh, okay, I probably would have did the same thing. You know what I mean? So.
But what you think about Lyra Valkyrie and Becky?
I was just thinking about that. And the crazy part is, I am so impressed with this version of NXT now and how they have found a way to successfully merge developmental and a third brand. Like we talked about it a little bit last week, but like if you see some, I don't care what anybody says. With a company like WWE, you have to prepare for your young talent to, one, get reps, develop, and still get exposure all in one. Yeah. And even people like Shotzi Blackheart, who is technically a SmackDown superstar, but she still needs her reps.
So much better on NXT.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God, yes.
Because she's in, you know, that's, so it's like you're too good for the developmental because you got to make room for the next class coming up. But at the same time, you really haven't found your footing on the main roster. But now, because you're on the main roster, when you come back to NXT, it's a different audience. It's a smaller space. You can kind of, once again, I call it getting your reps in. And I like the fact that, like think about it. Becky Lynch and Natalya have single-handedly brought so many women to the forefront in, like, the last month than I've ever seen NXT or any other promotion do when it comes to women wrestling outside of, like, TNA back in maybe, what, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
Because I remember at that point, during that run, it was like, bro, if you wanted women's wrestling, like for real, you had to go to TNA because they weren't holding any punches. They weren't wrestling. Like, you had like Vince Ring, you had Awesome Kong, you had Gail Kim, you had ODB, you had, Mickey James was kind of in and out, you know what I mean? You know, but you had that stretch. And then, of course, you had the beautiful people that were piled up. It was like, oh no, they're not, and they will let them like really, really go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So now you look at it, see, I'm like, first of all, Becky Lynch is working with a different young girl every week. I learn somebody else's name every week now. You have girls right. like Zia Lee, like you giving everybody a shot. Now it's my turn. I'm like, bro, this makes so much sense now. It's because
I really thought it was gonna be Player Davenport, but I'm okay with Lyra Valkyrie.
Bro, it's like a list. Everybody's got to get in line, and she's taking on all comers. I'm like, bro, this is perfect. It's because I may have watched two new girls get in the ring together at first, you know, for the sake of it. But I'm going to see the man because the man is a crossover pair. She's not a women's wrestler. She's a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She has proven that she can draw as a superstar, which is why they put her in those spots. That's why I says no disrespect to any women. Like, no, if you're that good, they're going to put you there. Especially now with old Tripster running the show. So, like, every week, she's got a different girl coming to her saying, yeah, that was last week. Now, what about this week? And I'm like, man, she's bringing so much credibility and notoriety to these other girls because now I'm forgetting, like, Tiffany Stratton is through the roof now. It's because I know who she is because she proves she can hang in the ring with a Becky Lynch. Now, when her character comes on, I know exactly who she is. I know who exactly. I'm not questioning.
When you stay in the Rumble, you're going to be rooting for.
And that's what I'm saying. And now you... Triple H introduced all these young girls to the Rumble, and everybody's like, who the heck are all these women we've never heard of before? And now he's that was just the introduction. Months later, now he's given us exactly who these women are. So going to next year's Rumble, the audience is going to know exactly who's coming where. And now they can begin to start their journey with the main roster. The main roster audience is because now majority of them, like at a Rumble or Mania, are going to be familiar with who these young ladies are. So you're not going to have a flat reaction. You know what I mean? So it's one of the things that I enjoy the most about the vets working at even Dom coming back getting reps. Like he's a part of the Judgment Day, but yet, like Brian said last week, if it wasn't for his father and everybody else, he would most likely be with that group anyway. But he's down there. He's involved. Judgment Day's always lurking around the corner. So it's like
one of the best heels in the business right now.
It's unreal. This version of NXT is different. It's because when Triple H was running the show, they were very separate. When they first started out, they did things like this, mm-hmm. right?
John Cena went down there, CM Punk.
Yeah, CM Punk was down there with Seth Rollins a lot.
The rosters that wasn't doing anything went down there to help out Gender, 3MB. Y'all wasn't doing anything, go down there and build Primo Epico. Remember, they were down there.
Yeah, they went down there. Remember, the Shield and the Wyatt family was doing double duty at one point.
Yep.
They both were NXT. So it's like, you know, and then, like I said, the indie era, the indie superstar era, and then that's when it really took off. And then when all that kind of ended, now we're back to where it was, and now we're starting to see that perfect blend between what we enjoyed versus what they're trying to do, and I think it's successfully. DX does it well.
I don't want to beat up NXT. I'm so happy that we don't have to see Tiffany Stratton on NXT on Tuesday, but when she appears on Monday Night Raw, she's just Stratton. You know what I mean? You know what?
Right.
They're not going to acknowledge the fact that, oh, that's this person. You know, Carmelo Hayes is in the crowd. Oh, that's Melo. Carmelo on Tuesday. Oh, it's Melo here. We don't have to play with names and act like we don't know that they're the same person.
Pretty much. You know, it's so much more cohesive because once again they're working together. They're brothers. They're like us. DX is just they found a way to merge these worlds together, and it's crazy because now I recognize Shawn Michaels' version of NXT, and I recognize Triple H's version of NXT, and we all know Vinnie Mac's version. It was a freaking game show. So we're gonna get into that later on.
It was good stuff, brother.
It was good. I don't want to keep dragging it on. But yeah, but was there anything else that you good brothers got into this week that you want to highlight? If not, man, we can ring the bell.
I mean, we got Halloween Havoc going right now. Halloween Havoc.
Why did brother Brandon raise his hand like he was in class? He's like, me. Like
right. He sure did.
You're not going to ignore the fact that Christian said, I'm not trying to be their leader. I'm their father. I said, are they just letting him say whatever he wants at this point?
I think like, it might be this contract.
I said, oh.
He just says anything.
He said, I'm not having them dress. What do you say? And goofy golf kids trying to pretend to be their leader. I was like.
Right. Yep.
Well, that's a shot
at you. That was worse than when I thought Edge went far. I'm sorry. Adam Copeland went far when he said, know your role. He was like, know your role with your shiny pants on. I said, Edge was coming from an old man angry, trying to burn him. Meanwhile, Christian like this. I'm their father.
He called him.
That's because he called him bug-eyed.
I didn't like that.
Anyway, I'm not gonna jump the gun. But Christian is hilarious.
Yes. We can't say anything about AEW without acknowledging the fact that Christian is just
the best thing over there right now.
Yes.
Christian is. Tony Khan said, whatever you want to do, go ahead. Don't even tell me. Just go. Uh-huh. And Tony Khan was like, oh, I know you was going to say that.
They love not having no writers over there. They just enjoy the show. But I'm saving my comments. Bradley, you said something about Halloween Havoc because I was watching some WCW this week too. But go ahead. I want to see what you watch.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, I just threw a Halloween Havoc 94 and the opening bout is Johnny B. Bad.
Why do you go back so early to these WCW?
Because he loves those. That's his.
Do you not know what the main event of the show is? 94?
I don't remember. Nope, not at all.
Tell me the main event of 94. Halloween Havoc 1994.
Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. Cage match.
Their second
pay-per-view WCW was we ordered.
Their first match. That's not fair because you have these sentimental moments. Because the first time they fought was that Bash at the Beach, correct? Was that?
Yeah, and this was okay. Career versus championship. This one, Ric Flair had to retire.
I hate the fact that because of what would happen after the fact, people don't give that match as much credit as it probably should have gotten is because I remember I listened to 83 Weeks on Eric Bischoff, another one of my favorite driving podcasts. Like if I'm going somewhere for a long distance and I need me a good 2.5 hour show, man, Eric Bischoff is the master at it. And he talked about that match in particular was the match that Ted Turner and them kind of rolled the dice on him. And they said, hey, listen, if you guys can make this a commercial success, which they did. So that's when they were telling Hawk to call your friend. That's when they had Mr. T was there and Shaq was there. And, you know, it was in Orlando. And they had, and just to be recognized as a successful national brand, and it worked. It got WCW running. And before you know it, WCW Monday Nitro would eventually kind of take its place and go head to head with Monday Night Raw.
Y'all never watched Heels, did y'all?
No, I never got into it.
It's funny,
I've seen commercials and promos. Yeah.
Season two. So basically, the dad, he was, before he killed himself, was a promoter. And that's why the son takes over the business, right? Okay. But season two, they do a lot of callbacks. Okay. And one of the callbacks was like the dad who has this promotion in Georgia called the Duffy. He was trying to basically get a meeting with Ted Turner. And he goes there and he's like, oh, yeah, this is going to be my big shot. You know, he's just trying to, you know, get that opportunity. And he just keeps getting blown off. But it's just like when you watch it, you go, you realize, like, especially in the South, because this is a callback in the 90s, how much Ted Turner meant to pro wrestling. And, you know, just everybody wanted to be like sort of associated with him.
Nah, that's really cool. I didn't even think about that, but yeah. It's unfortunate that the show just got canceled. I heard they're trying to shop it around to another network.
I really hope so, because the
cliffhanger happened at the
end. I'm surprised Netflix didn't pick it up, because it was on Stars, right?
Yeah. Hopefully it will.
I don't know why I thought it was on Showtime. It was on Stars?
I guess it was on Stars. I think it was the casualty of the strikes and stuff.
Yeah. Which is crazy, because you would think that show would have went to Netflix first because of what his basis of it was. You know what I mean?
I guess. You figure, I mean, it came out, 2021, the first season? So that's probably the reason why, you know. But, like, today, yeah, definitely. But, you know, with Stephen Amell, he was, you know, I know he was telling us in L.A., like, he was trying to get them to release the trailer then. And the people just didn't understand, like, well, why would we release it now? No, it's not time yet. And he's like, it's WrestleMania. Like, there's tons of wrestling fans out here. Yeah, and I was like, this would have been the perfect time. He goes, yes, thank you. It would have been the perfect time. Like, he was like one of the people like, yeah, come talk to me about it. Like, I want to talk about this. You could tell it's like his passion project.
No, yeah, you know, Stephen Mills always been a longtime wrestling fan. And
yeah,
I mean, who wouldn't want to have a chance to live out your dream on a show like that?
I mean, especially at the SummerSlam when, you know, him and he teamed with Neville to go against Cody and King Barrett. Well, Stardust.
Yeah, I remember
King
that.
Barrett, you know, so you got to live out his dreaming and to be able to do that, you know. And I mean, for what it's worth, he said, like, CM Punk credited Heels for, like, kind of reuniting his love.
So they're the reason.
I love to sit here and talk about Brother Brandon's favorite wrestler, because we all know how much the guy loves.
No, I'm getting excited about Stephen Amell, because I thought he was going to have an Arrow conversation.
Well, no. Listen.
Negative.
You see, now just as fast as you got upset about CM Punk, but Brian Ace was like, nope, we're not going there.
So no, y'all say that for Rome After Dark.
Yeah,
because I'll go to bed.
Trust me. That's a 6-hour can of worms that you
I know. Because I remember the night
until the last season.
Brother Brandon flooded the group chat, and I'm like, I don't know what none of this means.
I thought we were talking a foreign language, but it was okay. That's all right.
Which part?
Yeah, look.
Getcha was good.
with that being said, Brian H., ring the bell. Let's get this show on the road.
42 minutes in. Shout out to Blue and Jenna real quick. Shout out to them. They just came back. I listened to the show.
Oh, yeah. That was today, right?
Monday. They dropped
Monday. Okay, yeah. Definitely shout out to the Mixed Tag Show. We had them on our show, I guess, 2 weeks ago.
And yeah, they gave us a lot of love on their show.
Well, I appreciate it. I got to go back and catch that. Definitely the Mixed Tag Show. If you haven't watched it, I'm sure we have the information somewhere. But yes, the Mixed Tag Show with Blue and Jenna. Got to catch up with that. Welcome back. Much love. But you know who didn't get much love? There's a lot of rumors going around, good brothers, because this show we're going to talk about this week in pro wrestling is Edge already having some trouble in AEW. Now, I don't know how true this is or not, but you know, we've been hearing some things, and we've been, you know, of course, wrestling fans talk, Dursey's talk. But what do you guys think about Edge's short time in AEW so far? Is it working? Is it effective? And do you think Edge is already offended by his exchange with Ricky Starks because they had an exchange, and Ricky Starks called him. The rumor is they saying that Edge was they both were upset about the guys going off script, and AEW's timing's terrible because like even like the punks just look crazy. It just looks different. How you take one person into a different setting, and it's the presentation is different, but Ricky Starks called Edge bug-eyed, and Edge clearly got pissed.
He fired back like an old grumpy man.
He called him a vanilla midget version of The Rock. It was bad. But like Ricky Starks is black, so it's throwing me off. He told him he had shiny pants. I was like, brother, what's going on right now?
He said, know your role.
And then he did say that.
He thought of more stuff to insult him. Was like, and then by the way.
And then he goes, oh, that's enough to send me over the edge. I was like, somebody hit him with the edge line already.
He got him.
Okay, but like I said, Edge is short time in AEW. Talk to the people, good brothers. I'm sure. What do you guys think about Edge's debut so far? His debut in ring against Jurassic Park, Luchasaurus.
Jurassic Park?
That's what freaking Brian Hitch used to call Jurassic Express. He called him Jurassic Park.
Couldn't stand that group.
Yeah, the group wouldn't have been bad if AEW was for children and they sold toys. It's because it doesn't make sense. But like you're marketing this to like adults, like we're going after 18 to 35, like it's 1998. And you guys got like,
bro, it barely be kids at the show.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, and that's why the toys stay on the shelves, is because the kids are not familiar with these characters.
Yeah.
But anyway, Edge in AEW. What'd you guys think about his first match in AEW? How does he look in an AEW ring? I'm gonna give you my 2 cents, but I want you brothers to talk. Brother, you've been quiet. Tell me what you think about the Rated R superstar Adam Copeland. Adam Copeland.
It's weird seeing him in that ring.
Thank you.
I'm still trying to adjust to it. I guess the whole presentation of it, just the lighting, and I don't know. It just seems like AEW seems like to me it's a glorified indie show now. But lighting and whatnot, you know. WWE is brighter. It's more of a production. It just fits me more. I think I just need a little bit more time to kind of get used to him in that atmosphere. But I do want him. I just want to see him and Christian go at it. That's it.
I need a little bit more time to figure this out. But
that's it.
No, I think everybody's waiting for that. But what do you mean by when you say you think it's a glorified indie show? What about what you're watching makes you feel that way? Because we've seen glorified indie shows.
Just the setting of it, like y'all all know me. When I go somewhere, I'm always looking at the lighting or the setup or the stage setup or whatnot of everything. It's
almost like a habit now.
Yeah, it's just on TV. The way it comes across on TV, it just seems like it's definitely not. You can tell it's not on the same level as WWE. Mm. It's not really. It's slightly under. I would say minor leagues. Triple A, if you want to say, to WWE, and it has the potential to get there, but it's not there yet. The stars,
we've lived WCW. Yeah, at the end of the day,
yeah, you can't tell 18 to 35 what that looks like. It's because we were there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, my question is to you guys, and brother, you can jump right back at this if you deem it necessary. Mm-hmm. We've seen bigger superstars go in smaller settings. For instance, we've seen WWE guys go down to NXT. Now, let's be fair. We know that the presentation of WWE's production is always going to make it look a certain type of way, even if it's in a smaller setting. But like, Brother Brandon, I say this because what about when Christian, Jeff Jarrett, Sting, Kurt Angle, Kevin Nash, those guys went to TNA? Did you feel the same way about their presence in a TNA type setting, the same way that Brother Hugh talks about his him looking at Edge? Because I agree with Brother Hugh 100%. I watched it, and I'm just like, bro, this, like, even like when they're doing like the Dusty Finn is running, and he's like swinging and hitting, he's like, the timing is off between the people. Like, he's like holding back punches because it's like, dude, you're supposed to settle a little bit more, or at least give it back to me. but it does look awkward. I can't put my finger on what about it looks awkward, but how do you feel about it in comparison? Because we've seen, like I said, we've seen these bigger stars go in these smaller settings. Did you experience that with those guys that I just named versus kind of what brother he feels about what he's seeing on AEW Dynamite? Because I definitely agree with him. Brian H., same thing to you. What do you guys think?
So, go ahead. Was you about to say something?
No, I'm not saying it.
When the initial shock wore off in TNA, we still had something to grasp onto with these guys. I feel like I'm watching AEW just waiting for the newness to wear off because it hits so it hits faster in AEW than it did in TNA. It hits because TNA, we got Christian, and this is what we're doing with him. We got Kurt Angle, and this is what we're doing for him. Too often, Tony Khan has showed us, I got this person, and then I'm moving on to the next. I got this person, I'm moving on to the next. Like, even when I saw that it's now been trademarked, rated FTR. Okay, what are you doing with this? Like, I feel like I'm just waiting for it to forget that Edge is there.
They get a new leader more than Frankie Stakino and the other kid from Boy Meets World. Where they kept trading bosses every other episode. He had somebody leading them in the next. That's right. I definitely used the Boy Meets World reference. I didn't mean to cut you off, but they're pissing me off.
I just feel like, and we knew TNA was the other brand. It was an alternative. I feel like AEW wants to be presented as not the alternative, better than. And it should just be presented as the alternative because we keep looking to know it can be an alternative, but you keep wanting to make don't watch WWE, watch me. Not I have other options. There wants to be the only option.
I had a debate about that early this week, buddy.
You had a debate?
I did. Blue from the Mixed Tag Show, as a matter of fact. He didn't like my comment about AEW when I about my the Michael Myers freaking post that Friday put up when I said AEW's time is up, and that's literally what the debate was about. Because I literally said what you said, and I was like, I didn't say those words, he did. He never said, hey, look, if you don't want to deal with that, I got something for you. He did exactly what you said he did. He said, no, look at us. Don't look at them. So I agree with you.
Yep. It's time for them to adjust that focus. Stop focusing on being WWE or beating them. Like, just stay in your lane like Impact. Yes.
TNA has been around, and they're going to keep being around because they know who they are, and they know their audience. They know their role.
Yep.
That comment sent me over the edge. What about you, Brian? Did you...
Yeah. He just slapped his leg.
He said, it's a knee slapper. He said, oh, that comment sent me over the edge. And Edge was sitting there mad.
Right.
Edge is there for 2 weeks and somebody already dropped the Edge comment.
He probably sitting up there ready to call Punk. Hey, dude. See exactly what you mean down here. I told
these guys
you.
These guys have no respect.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's wild over there, man.
You see that text of Tony Khan? They're going up to his room in Vietnam. I would never go to Vince's room. I didn't even know what hotel he stayed in.
Right. Yeah.
It's all speculation. I don't know this. I'm just having fun with it.
No, let's continue.
He tried to put out a disclaimer real quick.
Yep.
Right.
What about you, Brian? Does Edge look awkward in AEW?
Yeah, Edge looked awkward since he came back. I said this before. You know, he was one of my guys, and I felt like
okay.
I know
so wait, this is a different twist. So you think he looks awkward in general? Like you thought he looked awkward even when he came back to WWE. Now, which time did he come back? Because you know he came back like
746 times. 746 times on a roll.
Yo, real talk. Mm-hmm. 2020 was cute, but after the match with Randy Orton, that should have been it. Like, yeah,
not even hold.
That was real. You didn't want to give him a chance.
Bro, sometimes it's best to wish that people can come back and they don't, then they get them back and it's like, you know who's a prime example?
I'm listening.
Sable.
Ooh. Yeah.
Tell me the eye candy didn't wear off.
Because she was older, man. Face was wrinkled out. And we had already fallen in love with 30 different new divas. Because you know, when she was around, it was just her, right?
Yeah, because we was over Sunny.
And it was her and Jacqueline.
Deborah.
I'm talking before Deborah, though. It was
just okay. Her and Jacqueline, yeah.
So wait, so
well Deborah up. Was in 98. She came late 98.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Fair.
But
yes.
But no, Jacqueline came in 98. Yeah, Jacqueline came in that because that's what Jacqueline, she reacted the women's title, right?
But then Jacqueline came in the beginning after Sable got kayfabe fired.
And oh, Mark Mero. She was the new love interest of Mark Mero.
Mm-hmm.
And then, right. You know, they had their thing. And then you're right. Deborah showed up because Jeff Jarrett kind of had his, like, he had the, he's mad at X-Pac for peeing in his boots. He's mad at X-Pac for peeing in his boots. And then they had the hair match. He shaved him, and that's the birth of the puppies. That's when Deborah came out with the suits. And let's just say it didn't take us long to get over Sable.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
No, I agree with you. I think I don't want to say peak edge, but peak edge was probably where was he at the match he had with Roman Reigns?
That yeah, I was gonna say I will take that Money in the Bank 2021.
Yeah,
as the world right before the world opened, sort of opened up. You know, he went to SummerSlam, but you know, it was when he did that Brood music. That nobody's going to not be able to convince me that he heard that Gangrel was coming to AEW and
We knew that's what it was about.
You know, and I'm gonna give him credit with the matches with Seth Rollins, but after that, it was like,
I think he just stopped after the Seth Rollins matches.
Yeah, so like seeing him in AEW, and I get it. There's people out there who love Edge. My son does based off a video game, so. You know, he likes watching the matches, you know, but I just looking at him over there, like,
looks like a shell of himself.
We're going to see what's been true all along.
Which is Christian what, bro?
Was better.
Hold on. Play the gunshot again, because you just dropped bombs left and right, bro. Like, you just.
I thought I was the only one that thought that.
Dang.
Brother Brandon, I'm going to give you your props, your credit, and all of that stuff, because you said it, and it made me do
the same thing.
A deeper look into things. And I was like, yo, you know what? And I would go back and see some of the matches. And what it is Edge was just bigger. He was the prototypical WWE size, right?
He got more opportunities than Christian did.
Exactly.
But you were right.
Edge had controversy around him too. That's what helped him as well.
He was Christian, definitely hot with the whole leader thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Think about it. Christian was safe.
Yeah.
And then Christian went and said, "All right, I'm going to leave. Watch what I do."
Mm-hmm.
Came back with world title reigns under his belt. Did the company thing and said, "Nope, I don't need to be. I'm gone." And then what he did.
I think what bothers me the most is that I'm watching Christian now and I'm like, man, it's a shame that. I'm looking at all his best stuff outside of what he's going to be known for.
Yeah.
And as much as I enjoy the matches, I'm like, man, this stuff seems flat compared to what he did. Like post TNA, we were happy because he came back, but they're like, this is a different side of villain because for once he's like a legit bad guy. He's not a weasel. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like Weasel Christian. Like, bro, you're better than a weasel. That's like, I don't like Weasel Bret Hart in WCW. And whew, man, Christian might be better. There's no might be, but I'm just like, yo, cause think about it. What Christian is doing now as far as his character can last a lot longer than what Edge is doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's no disrespect to Edge, but after a while, you're not going to be able to physically, you can't write checks, your butt can't really cash it after a while. Versus Christian.
He can kick Nick Wayne out in 6 months, get him another protege. He can add people. He can change it around.
Give him another son.
He can get him another wrestler and say, this is now my daughter. Look what I'm doing with her. He could do some stuff that's
going to make. Yo, I still can't get over the presser when he was talking about Antonio Inoki.
Oh my gosh, bro.
He's like, are you a wrestler? No, not that part.
That was my favorite.
I'm talking about when they talked about Antonio Inoki. He's like, their grandfather.
And he does all that stuff with a straight face, like, bro.
and I was getting annoyed because I'm sitting there, I'm like, all you and I for one, I don't like being that person that criticizes the pressers because you know people always got something to say about them. But I was getting annoyed because I'm like, yo, Christian is right there. Why y'all asking him questions about other stuff? Like, He's a freaking champion, the most over person on the show.
Mm-hmm. And then this the thing broke that his title was on. And he was like, look at this, just like this. What do you think? Like this company, it's all broken. The fact that he's like, you've been champion for like 2 weeks. He was like, 76 days.
Yep.
And it was like, whatever. It was like,
that's the part. That's the part that's going to last a long time. Because think about what, why are we talking about Christian right now? Is because of what he did in the ring? No. it's what he has been able to do on the microphone. Like, he looks dumb right now. He wears the all black with a cut off arm shirt.
A toe neck.
And I'm
right.
The fact
that
was rocking a turtleneck midsummer with a what was that brown jacket that looked like it was suede. I'm like, this man is serious.
It is, and he and this and you wait for him to like break or say something funny. It's like, no, this dude is dead serious. But man, he, I don't know, man.
Edge
is,
after Edge gave him that heartfelt promo, he hugged him and then told him,
"You said go f yourself." And this
walked away.
Edge is saving. Edge, I'm sorry, Christian is the real reason why. Like, if I want to catch the show to see something on the show,
that's it.
That's what I'm waiting to see his segment so I can move on. You know,
how's
what
everybody's father's doing tonight?
Yeah.
Oh God, it's such a jerk.
He's literally the only reason I watch it. Him and Prince, nah.
I mean, yeah, because think about it, brother. You can go watch everything else.
Yeah.
No.
Prince Nana is a rare gem.
Nana is a national treasure. Please keep
them safe. The story is when the real Dwayne Allen almost scared him in the alley.
Okay. Well, where were we at? Where we were?
ROH.
That's what
making me nervous. Making me nervous.
Yeah. That's because I used to wear a hood everywhere. Like that was
him,
I don't know why.
Me and him and what's the dude? The perv, TJ Perkins.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Wow. They was walking to the cars and he's making me nervous, making me nervous. The way he's like, you ain't gotta be nervous at the wrestling realm. Oh, right. I heard of y'all.
That took me back almost 10 years. That was fun. Those are some good old days, man. Just a lot of highs, a lot of lows. But we're gonna skip down and get skip down a bit. We were gonna talk about Tony Khan's tweets, but
oh gosh.
Here's the thing. They always say that all publicity is good publicity, good, bad, or indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna call the segment Tony's tweets. Tony Khan has been tweeting out of control.
Tony's tweets.
He said, "Where's Dylan?" Tony's tweets have gotten. That's true, brother. That's right. I don't know why. I wore like hoodies everywhere. I don't know. I think I was hiding as I was 6'12", as brother Brandon says.
Thank you for acknowledging that.
But yeah, so it's Tony Khan has been tweeting out some crazy stuff ever since the Tuesday Night Wars.
The what?
The Tuesday Night War. You don't remember the Tuesday Night War?
Yeah, when NXT, that was Tuesday Night Beatdown.
When checking my words together. when AEW try to go toe to toe with DX, it's a terrible idea.
Who told you it was open?
Oh man, Tony Khan just went on this barrage of just tweeting, and it made it very personal. It seemed like sour grapes. Now, mm-hmm. like I said, some people say all publicity is good publicity. Do you guys think that Tony Khan's tweets are good for business? Does it matter? Does it make a difference? Does he look crazy? Is it helping bring in notoriety to AEW and him as a business owner? Like, what say you? Personally, I think it's good for getting attention.
Yeah.
And I don't mind doing stuff to get attention if there's going to be like some sort of follow-up to it. But there's also something like considered negative attention. And man, I'm nervous for Tony right now. It's because he's tweeting, he's being petty, and I respect him for speaking out, but at the same time, attendance is low, ratings are tanking. There's no more blockbuster free agents you can sign outside of somebody that's been released.
I thought he was selling out arenas though.
last time I checked, I'm speaking to a lot of readers, Brother Hugh. When that number went from 82,587 to like 72 something, I was like, okay.
Turnstiles tell it all.
I think that was just like the downfall. But do you guys think that Tony's tweets is good for business or bad for business?
Bad. I think they bad because, yeah, he got people egging him on, right? And Daniel Price says it hurts the company because drawing attention to himself all the wrong reasons around the product. Exactly. I agree, right? Daniel Price. I agree, Daniel Price.
No, Daniel Price.
Real fast. Right. But also think about this, right? What about trying to sell like sponsorships? Trying to
I didn't think about the business
marketing. Yeah, and I'm gonna shout out the Wrestle Rap. I was listening to Emilio and Cam Seahawk, and that was one of the things, and I was like, yo, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, I'm in the gym listening because you don't see
he's the Jack Daddy.
You should have saw that coming, brother.
I did. But you think about when you go. You don't. It's the reason you don't see Vince McMahon, Triple H, and them responding to activity. This dude responded to dirt sheets. He's responding to bots. He's DMing people that these people sitting up there exposing his DMs, and it's like, bro, you doing this? Like, you sound like a child. As Brother Ross says, Tony, stop acting like a child. You know, it's like sometimes you just got to take the heat. Okay, you lost. You know. Using a promo or something, make it a part of the story. But like Twitter, that's like real because you can't kayfabe.
No, you know? You cannot.
It's fun for us. We get to sit back and laugh, you know, and yell, take his phone. But the first thing that happens, everybody's like, "Yo!" and it hits the group chats and all over the place. That's fun. But for the people that don't like wrestling, right? Them people at the top, like, yo, what is this dude doing? Mm-hmm. NBA owners don't tweet like this because that's what they go compare him to.
Yeah,
sports owners, especially all the money he got, different companies, exactly. And they were like, they don't complain about this stuff. Why is he acting like this? You know, Jermaine says Anthony need to go to his room. Exactly. Yeah, and like Daniel said,
he called him Anthony. That's his government name, Anthony.
And like, you know, you talk about good night and this, that, and that, but you put over Mayo Clinic, and then all of a sudden you bring up WWE after you just tagged Mayo Clinic. And I'm sitting there, I was thinking, that's what I was like, yo, anybody know the social media people that work there? Because I remember it's the time when I was at Hopkins and you get tied up in some negativity, then it sends everybody on high alert because they don't realize what's going on. It's like, yo, why is this getting all this traction? They're like, yo, okay, we good. And I wonder what Mayo Clinic social team was acting like that day. Because it's like, they get trolls and stuff because people was always, you know, just because of everything.
No, it everything you said makes perfect sense, man. And this is something, the problem is this is something we have not seen before. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't seen an owner be so involved publicly.
Yeah,
you know, it's and sometimes you just gotta take your phone away, take his phone away. But we'll see what happens next. It's I don't know, man. I swear I'm trying to be positive and I'm not trying to downplay AEW, but man,
no, call it what it is. The simple fact that he doesn't have any layers or people in his ear or wise counsel to actually tell him, I know you might be frustrated, but let's turn this energy into something else. Mm-hmm. Or let's allow this to fight the battle. You are the figurehead and you're making yourself. And every time you introduce yourself, I'm the CEO, head booker, owner, operator of. So you wanted two main titles. You're a millionaire, yep. A CEO. Act like it. You don't have to come to every show to tell people, thank you for coming out. Whoever your figurehead is, because you made the announcement about ROH, but you want to hold on to AEW, and you want to make sure everybody knows we're going to associate you with AEW. You are the Vince McMahon of AEW. act like it. And I hate to compare him to He Who Names Shall Not Be Named, because every time we do, we have technical difficulties. Mm-hmm. But you got to take something from him, because what tweets come from that man? Happy birthday to somebody. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Congratulations on something for X, Y, and Z. That's celebrating true. 30 years on this. That's, sir, you are the figurehead and the person everybody looks at. And to compare him to, you know, a political thing, look mm-hmm. what happens when one person was tweeting everything they could think of. We're like, this is insane. And look at the comparison when the person before him didn't tweet as much and just said the congratulations or thanks or, you know, good job this. Two different eras, two different outcomes, two different followings. And granted, I probably would get some slack from the AEW lawyers. It's not that I'm bashing them. It's the fact that he's not thinking clear because he's a kid playing with his toys and somebody else brought a different toy that he had.
Fanboy McGee. Oof. That's what we call him. Fanboy McGee.
Fanboy yeah, McGee.
And don't get me wrong, I give him credit. He's given us things that us as fans can appreciate. But you yeah. are a business owner that's bringing a product that has a good audience to life, and you're turning people off to it. Yeah. I should have wanted to see what Edge is going to do, but you and his first match against Luchasaur is not going to make me turn from NXT on any day of the week.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, well.
Yeah. The first match could have been against, put him right there with MJF as the first match, or something to make people want to turn to it. You know what I mean? Put him against somebody that's going to make you say, "Oh, that's serious. Edge is coming. He came to show people that he's here." And if it takes a year and a storyline to get him back, tell that story.
Yeah, not gonna take no year to tell no story. AEW, it's a hot shot indie booking.
But you get what I'm saying? Like,
no, I agree. Trust me.
You should have gave me something to make me say, I'm not going to watch NXT. I want to go watch that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even at this bare minimum, like NXT, like, you know, that should have been the bar that you should be trying to, let's start here at the bottom first. Humbly, let's take out, mm-hmm. let's compare our product to NXT. Then now let's go to the main roster and then so on and so forth. But
last thing I'm going to say, but I don't understand. If you got people in your company that have been successful, they'll share knowledge with you why they were successful and why where they failed. Take that into account. Yep. You got a whole Jeff Jarrett right there.
I would have thought
the product would have shifted. Me and Jeff Jarrett would have been the best of friends because I'd be like, what worked for you or what didn't? Global Force, mm-hmm. GFW. Why did that fail? Where did you go wrong? What could you have did differently? Oh. Not tweet. Okay, never mind. Go up to some sponsors. Oh, whatever it may be. He got a whole thing right there to live through promotions that flourished at a time when we didn't have this social media. Let him understand that part of the business.
They'd probably be trying. And he'd be like, you know, and they'd be like, you know, I'm going to just get my money. And then some of them, Triple H probably be sending down there. Hey, man, go disrupt some things down there for me.
Yeah, but what about an Arn Anderson, though? Like Arn Anderson was there. He watched Jim Crockett Promotions fall, and then he watched yeah. WCW fall. Like,
you think he really listened to Arn Anderson?
And I told Tony,
because
you don't listen, he would be right in the toilet, just like the rest of them. But I just dare Conrad to get a paycheck.
Most guys are though. Like this
get inside of me. Yeah,
his son looks. First of all, looks ridiculous. Smack like him, especially
he looks like a 60-year-old man.
Well, see, so did Arn Anderson at that age. So did Arn Anderson at that age. So that's the crazy part.
Fact.
So did Arn.
Hitting double A spine busters.
Arn right, was a 40-year-old man for 40 years.
His whole
wrestling career was given because I'm a 40-year-old man.
Oh, right. whole time he was 27 years old. No, it looked like somebody's grandpa there wrestling, but I don't know why it was, but that's how it was back in the 80s. It was cool to look old looking, make you look more like a man. But like I said, we love to sit here and talk about Tony's tweets all day. We'll be here for hours. But something else kind of happened this week, good brothers. Logan Paul, first of all, he has a controversial boxing match, which he wins. Mm-hmm. And then turn around and they ask him, what's next? And this man went out his mouth and said, hey, I plan on challenging Rey Mysterio for United States Championship. Well, sorry, Ray.
Right.
Sorry, Ray.
Get it off of me.
Is it obvious what's going to happen next?
Oh, yes. It's very obvious.
Brother, you talk about it. Logan Paul's going to become the United States Championship. And we
Yep. He's becoming the champ. And then my man LA Knight will take it off of him later on. Yep.
Let me talk to you.
There it is.
I might have lost this match to Roman, but guess what? You running your mouth, I'm gonna shut you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something right now. You seat in the pants, you fly by, got little kids to eat for you, like whatever you
say. Yeah.
Dummy.
First of all, we just got a brand of the guy LA Knight.
Right.
Oh, man, that was rich. This is one of those nights. Mm-hmm. Man, this is how wrestling is when they got you all the way messed up in here. He said, I couldn't be Roman, but you talk too much. Yeah.
That's definitely going on social.
Oh, man, that was perfect. That was great.
He was still laughing. Sorry, go ahead. What you?
No, you good. You good. Hey. Now you good, man.
As soon as I saw the clip of Logan Paul, I said, well, Ray, you had a good run. Everybody knows.
Sorry, Santos. You still can't get the belt.
No. Right?
Santos.
Maybe Santos could beat him because I feel like I don't trust Santos. I really don't. And he's
me neither.
I'm not buying this LWO thing, but I think I might be changing my mind because he got a fresh LWO action figure. And it's like, well, usually when action figures come out, they want to ride the wave for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't trust. I've only known him as a heel. Like I understand him as El Fantasmo, but he had a mask on. No personality. But Santos Escobar. First of all, his last name is Escobar.
Yeah.
I don't.
A brick of cocaine in your bag.
Listen to me, Legado del Fantasma. I don't trust them. but as soon as Logan Paul said, "I want the United States Championship," I said, "Well, Ray, you had a good run, buddy."
He's gonna wear it to his next boxer match. You do realize that, right?
He's gonna wear that thing everywhere. He's gonna.
They're gonna announce him as the WWE United States Champion, Logan Paul.
He doesn't get any more United States of America than a freaking influencer that has made millions. Like, it's not like he started out real estate and said, okay, I'm gonna stop doing this and be on YouTube. He's a born and bred American influencer. Like, if you look him up on Wikipedia, that's what he's known as. It says American influence. And he has turned that into a profitable business. And that man is going to be your next United States Championship. So, Brian H., that United States Championship behind you, you might as well go get yourself a Logan Paul hat or figure something because.
A lime green prime and an orange side plate.
Have you guys had prime before?
Plenty of times.
I haven't.
We did a whole taste test on it.
Not my cup of tea. Unless they want to sponsor the show, then I love it. If prime, if you want to sponsor the show, then I love it.
I like prime.
I could. What did it taste like?
Did it taste like Mountain Dew and depression?
No, it tastes like freaking like medicine. I can't do
it. I like it better than Zoa, the Rocks joint.
I've never had his this because it comes in a can.
Yeah, but
tastes like it's flat already.
Yeah,
I'm a body armor guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now a lot of people, I didn't used to be a body armor guy. Like it was okay, but I was like, all right, it's good, and it's not as much sugar and stuff in it. It's a little more natural. But I was more of like stick to Gatorade because Gatorade is kind of thin. It's like I don't like thick juice too much unless it's like cranberry juice or real juice. So for my energy, sporting beverage to replenish my electrolytes, I look for something a little more light, but if Prime was sponsored the show, what do you watch sponsored by Prime Energy? This is the best drink ever,
man. Look, I like it
right
now. It's do you like C4?
I've never had it before. See, I don't trust those things because I used to drink Rippers back in the day. I would literally feel my like whatever this is over here, my kidney like start to feel pain. I was like, bro, I got
I drank a C4 and I thought my chest was gonna explode.
See, that's what I'm afraid of because I've already had like heart problems because of I don't know what I have a thing where it's like if my heart whatever's wrong with my heart, it's nothing wrong with it, but it shows symptoms of something way worse. Like one time I got rushed to the hospital, they thought I was having a heart attack, but I found out I wasn't. Like if my body didn't respond to it from the ambulance ride to the freaking hospital, they was ready to take me to surgery and stick a stent in my heart. And they was like, oh, never mind, that's not what it is. But it looks like that. I'm like, no, I'm not, you know.
I feel you.
I think I was taking too many like colon cleanser pills or something. I don't know. But it's one of those things I wasn't paying attention. Yeah, I was cutting weight.
Yeah, I only drink a C4 if I'm going to work out, like just to be sitting around drinking. No, yeah.
Is it like a soda, like a Red Bull type thing, or is it like
it's,
juice?
Yeah, it's more Bull, like a yeah. Red Bull.
Cracking a can.
Yeah, it's a exactly Red Bull, a Monster, and a Gatorade. I mean, a Mountain Dew with extra caffeine.
I'm nervous because when I see them C4s, I'll be like, bro, I don't trust them tall boys. That's almost like drinking a full.
You know, it's cool. You feel it.
You do feel it instantly.
It take you back to the local.
You be talking to people like this the whole time. You just be like this the whole time. Be like, what are we doing next?
But man, I tell
boy,
you this.
That boy like, had me tingling and shaking like, man,
I've been on the treadmill 20 minutes running now.
Your eyebrows don't go down the whole time. You're like, why do I look so surprised?
Do you ever crash?
Absolutely.
I
felt like I died. When I finally crashed, I feel like I had the ugly fat man mouth open, drool, snoring. And I was like, why do I feel like this?
Oh,
and it
man.
Was because of that.
Because the first time I had it was actually in Dallas. It was at WrestleMania Access, and they was giving them away.
Okay.
So I was like,
yeah.
All right.
Tesla's just like the drug dealers do. Had
bro, here, take this.
Yeah. He's like, hey man, don't drink the whole thing. And I was like, all right. And it tastes good, so I'm just sipping.
Throwing it
and
back.
I'm like, oh shit, I didn't got. Uh oh. So I had to go in the other room and edit the show. And I'm sitting there like,
he was flying.
I'm like, whoa, what the heck? And I said, never again.
He turned into Carlton from Fresh Prince and he took the speed. And he was like, go, Carlton.
Bro, so now, like, if I would drop like one of the kids off, I would drop it off, then crack it open. So by the time I get to the gym, I'm ready. Now, one time it got me because I cracked it open. And Kaz was like, yo, can we record at 9:30? All right, I'm in the gym. It's like 9:10. I was like, I gotta hurry up and get home. So I'm sitting at the computer, like,
just wired. Just like, I didn't get to burn all this stuff off. See, we put it that way, that makes sense. Like, I get that. Because, like, if you know you're going to kind of work it out your system.
Right. You know it's like the way you're supposed to eat sugar. Like, if you you go eat sugar, that's what Alonzo told me. Like, if you go eat sugar, you eat it before the gym. That way.
Yeah. You start.
You can burn it off.
Burn it off,
bro. I don't even put sugar in my coffee. <I'm sad>.
Oh man, I just keep thinking about the. I just keep thinking about the Kool-Aid man version. You know what?
Oh yeah.
I'm done, man. This week in pro wrestling joints being way too comical. I feel like I've been laughing the entire show, and I'm completely sober, so this is natural.
That you grab cocaine?
Right. You sober?
I have so many questions. Why do you just sugar your cocaine in the same place? Because your name is Santos Escobar.
Yeah.
Is that why?
Oh man.
So who's turning heel first? Him or Mello?
I'm telling you, I don't. It's probably gonna be Mello because I don't trust. I swear, I don't trust Santos Escobar at all. But like,
yeah, he's been slowly burning us. So, but Mello gonna hit us.
Mello gonna be like, well, Sean, you told me to do it. What you talking about?
Ooh. Yeah, he's bragging on everything. Like, well, I learned this from you.
Yep.
But yeah, you know who else burned off? Logan Paul's gonna burn that United States Championship.
That joke gonna be on YouTube.
It's gonna be everywhere. Logan Paul with a belt. What if he redesigns and add some blue back there, brother Brandon? Wouldn't you like that? Add a little blue back there where the stars is.
He'd be a Logan Paul fan.
Yeah. Add a little blue back there. Change up the belt a little bit. I like it. I think we all agree we need blue. Yeah. Have you ever seen a customizer put the blue back there before? Like, say,
it looks good.
Yeah,
yeah, I drew the picture of him with the blue strap. Paul
with Martin, the blue strap.
Would you guys mind if you could find it, send it to me again? Because I remember I saw it, but I just want to take it.
Oh, please, I got you. Don't you worry. Everybody has a story.
I figured the belt king would. If anybody,
he called his phone. Siri, show me that belt.
like Paul Heyman. Yeah. You need your own like voice telecom like belt assistant. Right. You got to call or something. But but yeah, moving on. I'm afraid to say this guy's name because every time we say this guy's name, we have technical difficulties. That's what I'm getting at, Brandish. I don't think we have a reason to be afraid of him more.
Did you hear? I'm not afraid of power. Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna try it. If something cuts off, y'all just go ahead and finish the show without me.
Oh, I said his name a couple times. We good.
Now you did. I was waiting to see what was gonna happen. I'm like this. But this is the biggest thing. And I think we're probably just gonna end on this. Because I think we have plenty of time to talk about Crown Jewel in the upcoming week or two. Crown Jewel November 3rd or 4th. What is that?
Fourth. It's like a midday pay-per-view too, right?
Yeah, because you know the time zone.
Just like last year.
So we're gonna end on this note. Vince McMahon, I said it. Lights still on? All right.
Yeah.
Has been completely voted out of creative by what's his name? Ari Emanuel.
Yep.
Yeah.
Guy in charge of TKO Sports. TKO Sports.
I almost called him Ari Gold.
Oh wow! From
Entourage, because I just started it like a few months ago, and I was like, "Oh, I see why people love this show."
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah,
and it's so many episodes to binge. Like you can get caught up in that stuff. But Ari Emanuel, that word in the street is first of all, we're here to talk about. Vince McMahon finally being completely booted out of creative, saying that Triple H, this is what everybody's saying. I don't, you know, take it with a grain of salt. It's that Triple H has 99.9% complete creative control over all creative decisions in all of WWE. Now, most people are saying this is something that Vince McMahon was told wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Vince has once again got a lot of stuff going on publicly. And they made the decision that they also felt that his personal issues and his placement within the company is could also be a direct or contributing result to their stock prices kind of dipping. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which is, you know, you got to keep the shareholders happy. So with that being said, months ago, we celebrated Triple H and his Triple H dust as he began to take over creative. And We were all running around singing "Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, the Witch is Dead," only for the witch to come back to life and say, "Psych, I didn't die," and everybody kind of started behaving themselves again. But now we're living in a world where Triple H is most likely 100% in charge of creative, and he has been knighted by Ari Emanuel of TKO Sports. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how much Vince McMahon still had a hand in creative. But I remember Brother Brandon said, you can tell, like, watching that last Monday Night Raw, you saw more of Triple H's kind of his calling cards all over that show. But as we wrap this up, how do you guys feel about Triple H finally kind of earning the stripes from the boss, the real boss, not the former boss, and getting almost complete creative control over WWE? Vince McMahon's finally out after all these years.
Well, he earned it. Yeah, took his time, you know. You talk about somebody who had like a 20-year internship.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was paid handsomely, but that's what it seems like working for Vince,
right? So it's very exciting, especially we got a preview of it, SummerSlam 2022.
Yeah,
you know, he came out just bangers immediately. You look at.
They were showing off.
Yeah, and you look at WrestleMania, you could see, like, okay, yeah, this is the Triple H show. Yeah, Vince got his match, Brock and Omos, but that was a Triple H show. So I'm excited.
That went absolutely nowhere.
It did. TikTok. That was the purpose.
He said TikTok.
It went to TikTok.
Yeah, the purpose was to get the F5 or Omos so they could get their spins.
Well, that's good to know. Anybody seen MVP since? I didn't think so.
Wow. Hold on. I uploaded the pictures that you was looking for.
Oh, there you go, right there. This is if there's an excuse to change the belt up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about the blue strap. The blue strap is fine, don't get me wrong, but it reminds me of the Universal Championship. But I definitely feel like there needs to be some blue with these stars up here.
Yeah.
And some people paint it behind the WWF logo too, like they put white behind it. I've seen it on a white strap. The white strap wasn't bad, but all the reason I like the blue because it's on SmackDown.
Well, see, I don't like that brand specific strap stuff because anything could change.
Yeah.
And then you was changing the strap.
Like I didn't like the fact that they changed the Universal Championship to blue just because it was on SmackDown. I'm like, no, if the belt is red, let it be red, even if it's on SmackDown. Because that's the identity of the title. That's like TNA changing the Legends Championship to whatever, you know what I mean?
Darker red.
Yeah, like no, it was meant to be one color. But yeah, man, Vince is finally out. Triple H has earned his place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited to see what's to come. It's because I feel like now we've all been in spaces, and even us, we give each other our own spaces because nobody wants to feel like they're being creatively stifled. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everybody doesn't want to have to make decisions by committee all the time. Sometimes you want to say, hey, listen, this is what I want to do, and let me just do it. And, you know, Vince McMahon, we knew it was going to be hard for him to let this go because he's been in this space for such a long time. But it seems like, man, he's finally out. He has 9 lives. He always finds his way back in. Somebody's even saying, like, oh, now he's trying to sell his stock options and get out of the deal now. And I'm like, no, Vince, have a seat. But
it's officially a new era.
Yeah, how do we feel about that, though, man? I don't know. I mean, I've always felt like right now, you don't know what you miss until you don't have it, right?
Right.
Or you don't know what to miss because you assume things are the way they're supposed to be. And then you find out, like, oh, wow, this is much better. Now this person's no longer in control because it's just time to move on. And now we're fully there. Now we have a full situation where it was like, hey,
eat a steak.
Yeah. You know, Vince is officially out of creative. What are you guys looking forward to now with Triple H completely in charge?
See, and I'm looking for the future because the WWE is such a huge 10 years ago, Vince McMahon was doing it all, right? Mm-hmm. He had his cronies around him, the board of directors. He was manipulating, had his hands in, not 10 years, let's say 20 years ago. The way that business is done now, you have to have somebody controlling the business side and the entertainment side. Thank now that Plage is 100% in the entertainment side, and you have the business side of Nick Khan, I think that TKO is going to say, okay, there are our people there, just like they have Dana White now.
UFC, yep.
Yeah, with UFC and the other person running the business side. It's easy to manage that, and I have one person trying to dip into both. And it's even to the point I was thinking, I was like, maybe that's why Triple H got removed from the board, because they want him just exclusively for creative. Because
yeah, that would make sense.
And Brian's gonna hate this reference. As we see with Marvel, they learned when you have a Kevin Feige, just do that. Look what DC is struggling with. So they're
not the same. DC has capes.
He's trying to trigger you on purpose.
Yeah, that's about to stop it. But as you can see, when they realize that, you know, the overlords of
they
Disney
got capes, right?
The overlord of Disney has this, but we're gonna let Kevin Feige have the Marvel stuff and make it impactful. So that's what I think TKO is.
The same way with Star Wars and Dave Filoni.
Yep.
Y'all really getting into the nerd stuff.
Oh yeah. Real quick,
you know, you talked about commercial success in WCW. So on this show, you got Muhammad Ali and you got Mr. T.
See, there you go. I remember them. Now, granted, they were playing the hits, but they had one job. Mm-hmm. Show Turner broadcasting that they could, you know, really make some noise nationally. And that was kind of
what you got a full house. Like, AEW, TNA wish they could draw this house. You do have Flair versus Hogan. I mean, that match.
Match we're supposed to get at WrestleMania.
Yeah, 94 was going to definitely draw. With Sensational Sherry walking Flair out of ringside. Oh, Butterfly Robe Flair, too. The black one. The one that. Did y'all watch Hidden Treasures?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the one they were
searching for. Yeah, shout out to the homie AJ Francis. He was on there. He's flexing his TV's skills.
He used to be the host of that, but then when they brought it back, they went with Booker T.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought he did good on there.
I thought he did good too.
Yeah, you could tell he was a fan. He was making that connection. But with Vince, I'm glad that he's been forced to sit down. Somebody is checking him. They probably let him make that deal. Said we know we got to make this deal with you. Keep the old man happy. Now go sit over there and figure out with a TV deal, get Nick Khan some more money.
Go over there and count your money, Vince.
Let Triple H keep having his toys. Do whatever you want to do, Triple H. Just keep playing with him the right way and make us money.
Because it's working.
You could tell the product was different when Vince had his hand and they realized, hold on. You done messed up the ratings. You got people on
and the stock options.
Yeah, he said, wait a minute, you messing up too many things at one time.
You went too far.
The stock
numbers went down. Oh no, he got to go. See that's the
business. Yeah, they said that was enough. That's enough.
Yeah.
Listen, my guy,
that hurt.
Sorry, Brian Nate. I know you're a shareholder.
Yeah.
You are almost 80 years old. Why are you not retired, sir? With your villain looking mustache.
He looks like he's a villain from The Incredibles.
He said, "Bring your daughter back."
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's hilarious that he just, first of all, that he dyed his hair pitch black. He grew a mustache. I'm like, come on, old man, cut it out.
Is he 76? How old is he?
Too old to be Vince McMahon.
Too old to be trying to run a wrestling company. I think somebody said that he's like, for once, he's not in a situation of his father. Where at one point, his father, when he sold him the company, he ended up working for Vince Jr. or Vince McKinney, and it was nothing you could do about it. Because he didn't agree with half the stuff that Vince did as far as going national and kind of, kind of spearheading the demolition of the territory system. But at the end of the day, his father was still, I work for my son now. Like, I sold him the company. This is what I do. The man who gave Hulk Hogan his name. So Vince has had a good run. I appreciate what he's done to this point. It was just time. Like, cut it out. It's Triple H's time. DX is running.
He's 78.
Yeah, come on, man. Like, this is
Sorry, go sit down.
Yeah.
You got 76 grandkids. Go be with one of them.
Yeah, just pick one. Just hang out.
Just pick one.
One of them is playing college football.
Go buy a building there. Go get a building.
Might be heading into business soon.
Go adopt it. Go buy that team and give them some money. Do something. Go run that sports complex. Do something.
Open up the WBF again.
Yeah, I guess so, for seniors. but you know what he won't be doing, right? He won't be writing any more scripts for Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, NXT, BXT, WCW, ECW, NCAA, all that stuff.
Tony Khan.
AARP.
Tony
gonna destroy my own company.
Mm-hmm.
This man is finally done. Just like this show, good brothers, we made it.
We said Vince McMahon.
We did it, and everything the lights didn't go off.
Hugh, you gotta say it.
I don't want to. Leave me alone.
Sitting like, no, I don't want to
say Vince McMahon 10 times and we survive.
Right.
The curse is over. The curse is over.
That's right.
That's how I feel. I should be relieved. It's like we just survived the match with Papa Shango. it's like people like play candy, like say Vince McMahon 3 times in the mirror and see what happens. You know, gonna pop up, you're fired. No, Vince, you're fired from creative. Now go over there and count your money. But ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you rocking with the Wrestling Realm as we always do for this special episode of This Week in Professional Wrestling. We are going to stay tuned to see what else happens. There's so much more to come as we kind of make our way through the fall wrestling season. And before you know it, it'll be winter time. But you can follow us on all social media platforms at Wrestling Realm. Subscribe to our Patreon, our Twitch, and our YouTube channel at youtube.com/TheWrestlingRealm. Don't forget to head to watch the latest and greatest addition to the Wrestling Realm Championship Culture, youtube.com/WrestlingRealm. playlist, Championship Culture. Follow all these brothers on their personal social media feeds. I work with an ambitious and a hardworking group of brothers. They're always all over the place, and we are blessed and lucky to even have this one night where we can come together like the super friends and put on this great show as we always do. So I definitely appreciate you, brothers. Follow them at all of their social media platforms. Keep track of what they're doing. You never know. They might be able to provide a service for you or do something for you or be a part of something or just network at the end of the day. With that being said, wrestling fans, join us next week at same bat time, same bat channel, same bat place. Usually I will play the Batman clip.
I was
going
to say with the cape.
Right, with the cape. Like with the cape. But like Brandon, if you catch it.
Yeah,
don't they have capes?
Jack Farmer said that's how you tell the difference. I was all confused.
It's kind of true.
No, but, I was gonna say it's some truth rooted in that, but I don't want to acknowledge it.
Listen, we'll say that for him at the dark, because guess what, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna be in for another 3.5 hours, so Brother Brandon can give Brian H a breakdown between Marvel and DC and why DC wears capes and Marvel does not. Peace.
Boy.
Mr. Ryan Waters.